Lord, just show me a vision of East Malaysia. Victor, you're going to go there, right, in April for the convention. And after that, we're going to continue. That's about twice a month we're going to go there next year, both to help a church to be planted and also to minister the word. And the Lord showed me some signs and wonders that He wants to do there. Amen. And God's going to send you to prepare the way in prayer. And some of you too, when God leads you. We're going to do in East Malaysia next year like what we do in Singapore. And the Lord said that there's special signs and wonders that He's going to do there as we obey Him. Amen. Isn't Jesus wonderful? It's wonderful to know that we have a God who is alive. And it's also good to know that there's always a place that you can go to where people believe in miracles. You never know when you need a miracle, and you need to be able to find a miracle and find a living God, the God of miracles. Amen. We normally have been following in a series. On the second Sunday we have been doing a series on the second coming, but this morning the Lord has changed the message and we're going to talk about some other things here. So let's look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. And this morning I want to speak about keys to every problem in our life, and how there's always a solution in the Bible, no matter how difficult the situation, no matter how hard the problem. There's always a solution that we can find in God, because we do serve a living God. Matthew chapter 16. And here Jesus was at a turning point in His life and ministry. Jesus' life and ministry with His disciples could literally be divided into two major sections. Of course, there are others, always the other sections. And there are many phases to His ministry, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4, phase 5. But as far as His ministry with His disciples is concerned, there are two main areas. One is before He revealed to them about the cross, and one is after. And here was a transition point. He has revealed to them that He is the Messiah, and they have come to the point where they really accept Him as the Messiah. It took them nearly 3 years. Here is at the closing period of His ministry. Do you know that sometimes it takes people time to accept you, to accept your ministry? It took Jesus' disciples nearly 3 years to come to accept Him in the fullness of what He is. Of course, when they started following Him, they accepted Him at the beginning, but you realize that along the way there are still doubts, and they really came to a full acceptance of Jesus at this turning point when there was no more turning back. And Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And some of them said that, well, the people, some of them said that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're Jeremiah. But the Lord turned around to His disciples and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And although it's recorded that Peter was the only one to say it, but in cross-references you find that it mentions they say that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we realize that there are also the others who do confess that He is the Christ. But it's recorded of Peter, perhaps he was the first one to say out what they felt in their heart and thought in their mind. And Peter said out loud to their question, says in verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then He commanded His disciples that they should tell no one that He was Jesus the Christ. You see, they have recognized that He was Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I want to emphasize, there's so many things here to teach, but I want to emphasize on verse 19. Jesus says, "I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Why is it that He mentioned it as a plurality? Why not? I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven. We know there's only one way, singular. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Say, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is alive. And Jesus did say that no one comes to the Father but by me. So why is it here that Jesus mentions himself singular? He is the key. Jesus is a capital K key, K-E-Y. But here Jesus says, I give to you the keys, plural, of the kingdom of heaven. Because there are so many things that the kingdom of heaven will work on this earth. When the kingdom of heaven comes upon our lives, there's healing. When the kingdom of heaven comes upon our lives, there's deliverance. When the kingdom of heaven comes into our lives, like John 3:16, entering the kingdom of heaven, we are born of the Spirit, there's salvation. When the kingdom of heaven comes into our lives, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, I do not want to get into the theological division of kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. In essence and in quality, they are roughly the same. In chronological dispensation, they are different. But in essence and quality, we refer to them as one. In the same power, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So we realize here that the kingdom of God brings many things. Like when the kingdom of heaven comes, Matthew 6:33 says, see the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That means when you seek first the kingdom of God and you have the kingdom of God established, there's abundance, there's provision, there's prosperity. We realize that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven brings many effects on this natural world. It brings healing, it brings prosperity, it brings deliverance, it brings peace of mind, peace of heart. It brings inner healing, it brings wholeness in our life. It mends the brokenhearted. It does many things. And here is where Jesus gives a revelation that in each aspect of the kingdom of God and heaven working in our lives, so that we could live like heaven on earth, so that we could experience all the fullness and blessings of heaven right now on this earth, that Jesus died and paid the price for us on the cross with His precious blood, there are different keys to different aspects of the kingdom blessings. Keys in plural. And each particular problem that we have needs a particular revelation. There's no problem too hard that God cannot solve it. There's no mountain too high that God cannot help you to climb. There's no valley too deep that you have fallen into, in a pit of despair, in a slough of despondency, that God cannot stretch out His hand to lift you up. We can experience a portion and a part of heaven today, but there are keys to it, and there are many keys to different things, and I'll just show some examples here from the scripture. Now each aspect has many sub teachings involved, but if you recognize it correctly, there is one major key for each different thing. For healing, there's a major key. For prosperity, there's a major key. For spiritual growth, there's a major key. And there are obvious sub-principles that teach us how to manifest and work out that main key. For example, in healing, the main key is the word action. A-C-T-I-O-N. Acting on the word. You could cry, you could weep, you could fast, you could pray. But when your faith does not have corresponding actions, there will be no miracle. See, there's always a particular key. Now, around and surrounding the application of that key are sub-principles. Like, for example, before the action can come for healing, we need a revelation of healing in our heart. We need a revelation that the Spirit of God reveals by His light coming into our hearts. And we know that we know that we know that we have been healed. And when we have been healed, The revelation has come. The healing only comes as the action is taken. That explains why sometimes some people act in many ways. Some travel thousands of miles to receive a miracle. See, there are many ways that we demonstrate it, and God honors and God works. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 3. And bear this in mind, because these are keys that we have summarized and discovered as major keys. All the others are minor that play a part in revealing that main key. Because the next time you ever need a miracle from God in your physical body, don't forget the major key. And everything that you prepare is to launch that and turn that major key. There'll be many things that you do. Like when you want to open a door, you look for the right key, and you would, maybe it's in your pocket, in your car closet, or glove compartment, wherever. You get the key, place it in your hands, put it in the right direction, and then you turn it. So there are many things that involve in preparing the key, but there's always one major key that you turn that unlock the difference between earth and heaven. Unlock the difference between ordinary power and supernatural power. Unlock the difference between human ability and the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3, Peter says to this man who, if you notice, was not really looking for a miracle, but looking for some financial help. But Peter, looking at him, says in verse 6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Now, listen carefully to the next phrase. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. The immediate only follows the act. That as he acts on that healing, his ankle bones receive strength, and that healing is sealed on their life. I know many people cry on their beds and cry in pain, wishing for God to come to them. But the key is, when you've got everything in the right situation, your heart, your mind, your life, your being is right there, the revelation is there, and you act and you keep acting. Involved in that, of course, is a confession. Faith with corresponding action brings a miracle. And in regard to the miracle that Thomas received, and there were several healings that the Lord called out, but as the healing anointing was still present and strong, I called him forth, and as he came forth, the Lord began to reveal certain things that he could not bend. And I heard in my physical ears the doctor saying to him that, Thomas, you cannot bend. And I heard it, and I told Thomas I heard it in the spirit. And then when Jesus came, and as we prayed, the presence of God was there, the atmosphere was there, the healing of God was there. But I know one thing: if I don't get Thomas to act, the switch is not turned on. All the connection and the power is already, everything is set. You could connect the whole room and connect an amplifier, connect anything you want, but if the switch is not turned on, the power doesn't flow. And then it explains why many times there's an atmosphere, there's power in the air. But because faith, because corresponding action is not taken, the switch is not turned on. You can have your house wired to three-phase wiring, which is quite special. Most houses are not three-phase wiring. And you've got an abundance of power supply into your home. Yet if the switch is not turned on, the power does not flow. Doesn't matter how powerful the atmosphere is, how powerful the worship. But I know that the key, Jesus specifically told me, said, tell him to bend. And I knew that as he bent, it was going to be difficult for him. I knew, I heard, and I could see in his face, I could see in his eyes, and I could see in his spirit. But I could see him. You can watch it in video, we bring the video here. And slowly bent, and I could see. Although he was not facing me, I could feel a great discomfort. And the first time he did it,
pain. And then the Lord said, tell him to bend again. And I gave him a hug and I placed my hands on his back and I said, Thomas, bend again. And he bent. And it was then that the switch was turned on. As he stood up, as he lifted him up, as he stood up, and as he bent, that the miracle began to take place. The switch was turned on. Turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. And it says here in Acts 14, verse 8, and in Lystra a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, and had never walked. And this man, as he heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, with a loud voice stand up and said, stand up straight on your feet, and he leapt and walked. I want you to know that this man had faith, the revelation had come, the atmosphere was alright. It's as if Peter had said to the lame man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man still didn't walk. Peter had to catch the man's hand and pull him up. He needed that revelation that it's there. And Paul could see that this man had a faith and a revelation was already sealed. Everything was already, the key was in place. Now they need to turn the key. And he shouted out with all his might. And then man, when he stood up, the miracle took place. I want you to know that in healing and understanding how to flow with the healing power of God, the key is always turned on in the action. Where the action doesn't correspond with the faith in the heart, there will be no switch turned on. No matter how much power and prayer has prevailed before that. Besides that, even when you turn the switch on, you must keep the switch on. A miracle can be in the process and sometimes somebody turn off the switch. Remember Peter walking on water? Jesus says, come. Now, no matter how Jesus says come and no matter what happens, he will not walk on the water until he get out of his boat. There are no miracles without action. But before the action, the revelation needs to be in our heart. But when it's in our heart, and as you act on it, along the way, doubts may come. The devil will speak. The devil will send human beings. The devil will send doubts of fiery thoughts. And you need to keep walking on the revelation you have had. And what I believe happened as Peter was walking on the water was that when he saw the wind, his actions started following fear rather than faith. And what happens when fear comes? You start trying to swim. Before he starts sinking, he tried to swim. His fear came and he must have tried to swim instead of just walk. There is always a key in every area of God's promise. Discover the key and you will have the results. Sometimes it takes a long time for us to find the key to the right blessings of God, which is why sometimes some Christians discover financial prosperity but they don't discover healing. Some discover healing but they don't discover financial prosperity. We need to learn to get on to the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Plural. So in healing, the key word is action. Action, faith action, action which reveals faith with corresponding acts. Faith with corresponding action is the key to healing miracles. There are other areas like prosperity. In financial prosperity, there's only one key. Giving. No matter how hard you pray, no matter how much you believe God, if you don't sow, you don't reap. No matter how, whether we fast 40 days and nights, but we don't sow anything, you will not get anything out. And financial giving, just as we remember in action in healing, remember that the revelation must come before that. In financial prosperity, there's only, no matter how many 10,000 points you learn, 10 points of this, 20 points of this, 30 points of success, and everything on prosperity, there's one key. Giving is the key. It says, yes, prosper as my soul prosper. Correct. But when your soul prosper and in financial prosperity, there is no reaping the harvest without sowing the seed. It's just that simple. I remember this. Everyone sows in need. See, people forget that giving in the Bible is not giving out of abundance. You read every situation in the Bible, and the giving, there are some giving that came out of free will and abundance, but the vast majority of the giving in the Bible was the giving while in need. If you want to wait until you have no needs to give, you will never give. Remember the woman who was all about to make her last meal, eat it and die. She had a need. A little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. And that little flour that she had was all that she had for one day. Elijah came to her and said, make me a cake first. She had to give. She gave in need. Think about people like the Macedonians. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Macedonians in their great need became liberal in their giving. Think about the Philippians, who are also the Macedonians, but especially mentioned in Philippians chapter 4. If they have given out of their abundance, why then did Paul say in Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs? A lot of the giving in the Bible is a giving that came out of need. Never, remember these words, never ever wait until you're no more in need and you start giving. Because the key in financial prosperity is giving. You keep learning how to be a good giver and keep sowing all the time. Every time God tells, give, I give. I don't ask questions. If I know I heard from Him, that's it, I just give. It's important for us to be able to understand it. In every area of blessing, there is one major key. You can have 100 points, 200 points, but there's only one key. In healing, acting on the word. In financial prosperity, giving. Giving in need. Giving in every situation. So, in spiritual growth, there's only one major key. Meditation. You could do whatever you want, but if you don't meditate on the word, you don't grow. Just like eating is to the body, meditation is to our spirit. You can fast, you can pray, but you don't meditate on the word, your spirit doesn't grow. So each major factor that we want, there is a key. What about ministering in the power of God? There's only one major key. Spending time in the presence of God. Which is why many times when I go to a place for a meeting, I ask them, are the night meetings open and are they expecting the Lord to move? If the answer is yes, I say, alright, please keep the afternoon free and give me only one session in the morning. If you want me to do a good job in the night meeting, you must give me the time. I can teach 10 sessions a day, I could teach 24 hours right through the day, giving many things on the word. But if you want me to minister the gifts of healing, minister and operate the gifts of the Spirit, I must spend that time with God. See, you learn the keys and you learn to turn on different things and different switches for what you need.
And so when you know that you're going to operate the gifts of the Spirit, and you know you're going to operate in signs and wonders and in the demonstration of the Spirit, you must pay a different price and pay a different key. And the key is spending time in God's presence. So that when you spend those hours in God's presence and you come out of His presence, it's so easy to move because you're just like a servant obeying His every instruction in a meeting. There's only one key to operating the gifts of the Spirit, spending time in His presence, hours and hours and hours. Which is why the only time that I have free to go around is when the meeting is all over. But if, for example, it's just a seminar, and people call me just for a seminar, there's no ministry, just a group of people who are just hungry to hear the teaching of the Word, that's no problem. We could just teach morning, afternoon, and night. And there's no ministry. And I spend my whatever time left over with a little bit of fellowship and prayer and devotion time with God. And I don't have to pray up that much. But when it is a healing, miracle service, and I say, give me the whole afternoon with God. I need that time with God in order to get in. There's always a key to everything that we need from God. And just give some examples. There are many other things that you want in your life. Many things that you need a breakthrough. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm just illustrating from four different areas here. There are many other areas. In Matthew 16, what we see here is that to each situation of the kingdom of God coming in our life, there is a specific key. One key in one area will not operate for another area. We need to learn how to turn on the switch of faith for different things. And the switches are all different, they operate differently. So in the first area, we consider that every problem that we have in our life, every mountain that we face, every valley that we are caught up in, there is one solution, and the one solution is a revelation from God. God will reveal to you the principle, the key in that problem. So our major point one is revelation. Revelation. Revelation in different areas. Revelation on different areas of key, and we talk about four different areas. Every problem is a lack of revelation. Once you get the revelation, the problem is already solved. You just have to hold on to it and keep applying it faithfully to your life. In a family situation, in a home, there is a key in home. You got to learn that. There's a key in every relationship. There's a key in different things. But every situation requires a different key to operate. Second major point, you will have to fight for your key, and you will fight around your key, and the battleground is on possession and holding of the key. Because the devil will fight you tooth and nail to prevent you from receiving that revelation. Number one major point is revelation. Revelation in different areas will reveal different keys. Number two is a battleground between Satan opposing you and coming against your life is to prevent you from receiving revelation. That's all he does. If he could stop you from receiving the revelation that will be the key and solution to you, your problem in your life, he has got you. So he will fight like a wildcat, tooth and nail, for every revelation that you receive. My friends, you will have to fight before you have it. You will have to fight when you have it. You have to fight after we have it, because the battleground is around the revelation you got from God. You thought that when you receive the revelation, that's it. No. It's holding on to the Word and the revelation and consistently applying that in your life that brings it to pass. Some examples that we have in the Bible are like, for example, the book of Daniel. And the devil fought with all his might, sending the prince of Persia in chapter 10 verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. For 21 days, while Daniel was fasting and praying, the devil came, sent one of his key warring demons to prevent Daniel from receiving what he wanted," which was verse 1, that in verse 1 and 2, "When I understood that the message was true, and he understood the message and an understanding of this vision, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was praying over the 70 weeks, and he was praying, feeling that it was time. And God said to Gabriel, he said, "Gabriel, go and bring Daniel this revelation." And as Gabriel was bringing that revelation to Daniel, the devil sent a warring demon, and there was warfare for 21 days, all about revelation, preventing Daniel from receiving the revelation. Finally, Michael, the archangel, came, and Prince of Persia was overcome, and Gabriel came to Daniel and said, "Daniel, I've come to bring you this revelation, this message, this truth." The devil will fight you before you have it. The devil will fight you when you have it, because the moment Peter had a revelation, you'll notice that in Matthew 16, the devil came by and tried to twist and turn that revelation. And I'll explain a bit more, but let me point to something else first. The devil will also fight you after you receive that revelation. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, although he talks in the third person about himself, he says in verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I, lest I be exalted above measure." Notice it's all about revelation. He says, because of the abundance of visions and revelations, Satan sent a messenger against him. So you will fight after the revelation too. And you will fight against that revelation, because you know that when that revelation, which is a key, is applied and turned on in your situation, the kingdom of God is released and you cannot enter anymore. You cannot enter. So he will fight you until that revelation is worked out in your life. Because when the kingdom of God comes, remember what happens when Jesus casts out devils? He says the kingdom of God is here. See, the devil cannot live in the kingdom of heaven. Demons cannot live in the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven comes. And he's afraid of that. That when we turn the key to various things, it's going to be impossible to come near the secret place of the Most High. And there are many, many areas in our life. There are so many, many secrets. I want to encourage you. They're not just these few. There are secrets to immortality and translation, and only a few handful of souls have discovered that and have been translated. There are secrets to many, many things of the kingdom of heaven, and things that we don't fully comprehend, and the average Christian don't even know exist. I want to encourage and cause the spiritual appetite to be increased, that there are so many things more in the kingdom of heaven. And then in Matthew 16, we found that during the process, when the revelation is just fresh and you just receive it, Satan came to twist and turn it. Satan came to twist and turn it, and Jesus from that time started showing that he had to die on the cross, and it was the suffering Messiah and not just the kingly Messiah. And Peter started rebuking Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You know what happened? Peter received that revelation, but he don't fully understand that revelation. He only knows how to apply that revelation. You know, sometimes you apply it without fully understanding, because you know that's the key. In his mind, you see, his spirit had received a revelation here, but his mind interpreted that revelation that the Messiah equals the kingdom of Israel. See, in the natural mind, he thinks that the Messiah is to come and rule and reign like King David did, and Israel was going to be another great nation. And that is why it surprised him when Jesus started talking about dying.
I mean, here's the Messiah. He just comes, he reveals himself, and he's supposed to rule in Israel. Suddenly, he's talking about dying. So he had a revelation in his spirit, but his mind didn't fully understand the revelation, and Satan used that to twist him to have a carnal interpretation of a spiritual revelation. Which is why our theology sometimes needs to progress as our spiritual growth grows. Not to say that we get outside the word. In the things that, like a scribe, bringing out of the scripture things old and new, we begin to see things in the word more clearly where we saw darkly. And we need to revise our understanding, appreciation of many things. So the devil will come to twist and turn that revelation so that you won't have it. And he'll give you 100 interpretations, maybe some 10 people to interpret for you. But in your heart and heart, you know exactly what you need to do. If you will just be quiet on your knees before God, you will hear what you are to do. You may not understand fully, you understand partially, but you know that revelation, what you need to do to get that miracle. And if you start psychologizing it, you start thinking mentally, you start saying, oh, I think this means this, and this means that, and that means that, you lose the whole thing. Like Peter. It was the devil stealing that revelation from his life. He almost lost his blessing. Good thing Jesus corrected him. The first main point that we brought forward was that the key to the solution in your problem is revelation. And revelation, we need a different revelation or different keys for different situations, different avenues of the heavenly blessings. The heaven's presence and power. The kingdom of God, the keys. Second major point is be prepared for spiritual battle over that revelation. Third major point, which Peter had to learn in Matthew chapter 16 here. Let's read here in verse 22-23 again. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." Now there is another point that can be drawn out from here. And that is, don't stop at your revelation. When you have discovered one revelation, it is not the end of the kingdom of heaven. Which is a mistake many people do. When they found one key, they will think that that key can open every other door. A common mistake made by people. And when they found one key, they will want everybody to do the same thing, or they think that that's the limit. They have got it. They have arrived. We never arrive until we really arrive on the shores of heaven. We need to learn the third key. Humble yourselves in the sight of God when you receive that revelation so that you could progress in revelation. After knowing God for so much and so long, even after meeting the Lord Jesus Christ and after so much teaching and studying the Word, I realize there are still so many more things to discover. There are still so many things that have yet to be uncovered. So many more things that God needs to reveal to me. You know, it's a continuous process that we continue growing in. And to remember this third point, humble yourselves for more revelation from God. Don't be like Peter when he began to take pride. I mean, he thinks, he is arrived. When Jesus started talking, he thinks he knows more than Jesus now. You ever seen that happen when people receive something? They say, "Hey, I know more than you now." That happens many times. And sometimes when people sit under the ministry, I heard people sitting under some other ministry, and sometimes they think that they know more than the person. It's not the right attitude. Remember, it's always progressive revelation. And so here,
Peter thinks that he knows more than Jesus. He must think that he knows more than Jesus because he dared to correct Jesus. Oh, how many times have we thought we know more than others? And Peter here make a terrible mistake. And Paul says, consider others better than yourselves. Yes, even if you understand some things and you know some things, you don't have to talk about them. You don't have to parade it around. Just keep it to yourself and God. Just go on your knees and humble yourselves and worship and thank God. It's important to do this third area. Otherwise we fall in the same pitfall. You think, Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, the Messiah is not supposed to die on the cross. The Messiah is not supposed to do this. But actually, there was one more revelation he didn't get. That the Messiah was going to die on the cross and be raised up on the third day. He got only the other part of the revelation. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, flesh and blood Messiah. Because there are some more things that he didn't understand. In the third point, why must we humble ourselves? Because revelation is progressive, and I like to add another word. Revelation is continuous. Although it looks like the same English word and it's synonymous, but I want to use it in a different way. Continuous in a sense that it links up one to another. And what you receive of that revelation actually leads to another revelation. And the most funny thing is this. You don't receive part 3 until you receive part 1 and part 2. And part 3 is built upon part 2 and part 1, and part 2 is built upon part 1. By progressive, we are also saying that it's built one upon the other. Until and only when the disciples acknowledge him as Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, did Jesus give part 2 of the revelation that the Messiah must suffer. And Peter forgot this point, that revelation is continuous. In other words, that when he has got that revelation, there's one more part still to that. And then when you got the other part, there's one more part still to that. It's continuous and progressive. So remember major point 3, that we need to humble ourselves when we have the revelation, we have understood it. And do you know that it is a blessing to know that we need to understand something? It is us also a greater blessing to understand something, but it's the greatest blessing to understand that you don't know something. And you don't understand something, and you acknowledge it, and you seek God for it. It takes courage for us to admit that I don't understand those things, and I'm willing to learn. If only Cain was teachable and said, I don't understand why my sacrifice was not accepted, but there must be a key to why the sacrifice was accepted. He didn't want to look for the revelation. He took it personally. He forgot there's a key to every situation. And the wonderful good news is the key is available for everybody. The same key opens the kingdom of God. And instead, he took it personally and he killed Abel. Remember point 3. If Cain had only humbled himself and said, God, will you show me how to get my sacrifice accepted? I don't understand. Show me. I'm sure God might have shown him. It's the greatest blessing to understand some spiritual truth. But it's a greater blessing to be able to come to the place where you learn that you don't understand some things and you learn how to get that understanding. See, to get understanding is one thing, but to learn the method of getting the understanding is another. To learn how to fish is better than to be given a fish. And when we learn that the secret to continuous revelation is to humble ourselves before God and to admit, Lord, I've got so much now, And this is what I usually ask from God. I say, God, there's so much things here. Please show me some more things that I don't know. And show me what I don't know. Don't keep showing me what I know. I want God to show me what I don't know. And when He showed me, my appetite is built up. And I say, God, alright, now I'll start praying for those areas. Let's be bold enough to God and say, God, don't only show me how good I am, all the wonderful things and all those blessings, but show me the way you really see me. Show me what I don't know. Show me what I need to know. And humble ourselves before God. And God will teach us. Three major keys. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. Number one, revelation. Number two, you got to fight for it. Number three, humble yourself because there's more to come under Jesus Christ. Progressive, continuous revelation. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy in our life. We thank you, O God, that there is always a key to every situation and every problem. And we need to sometimes fight the fight of faith to receive that revelation. Father, we pray that you give an understanding to our hearts and lives. Perhaps some of us have made mistakes in different areas, and we regret those mistakes. Sometimes those mistakes, we cannot turn back the page or turn back the clock. But help us to pick ourselves up and walk on with you to greater things. Help us to learn from our mistakes so that we don't repeat the same mistakes. Oh God, we know that it's not wrong when we make a mistake. Although it's wrong, but it's not as bad as when we make a mistake and we don't learn from it. It's a sin to sin, but it's a greater sin, oh God, when we don't learn from our fall and we don't learn from our mistakes. So help us not to fall into greater sin when we already sin. Help us not to fall into greater failure when we already fail. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. Help us to press on. Help us to pursue. Help us to receive the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. For whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, because we have found the key to the kingdom of heaven on earth. We have found the keys to different areas. We ask, O Lord, that you establish your work and purpose in our lives. And seal these words of truth in each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's all rise together. And sing that song by David Ingalls, Kings and Priests He Made Us to Be. Right. I think it's in G. Kings and priests He made us to be. We have what we say. Have what we say. We get what we see. Faith is a victory. Love is the key. Jesus is Lord. And our King, our King. Kings, kings and priests, He made us to be. We have what we say. We get what we see. Faith is the victory. And love is the key. Jesus is Lord and our King of Kings. Yeah, hold it there for a moment. Amen. Do you know the key to praise and worship? There's only one key. Touched by God. When you're touched by God, every psalm in this Bible has been a product of being touched by God. And so when we really want to worship God, make sure your heart is touched and you can really worship God. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again. Kings and priests. Kings and
praise. Oh God, touch the core of our being, Lord. Help us to worship you in fullness. Get what we say. Faith is the victory. And love is the key. Jesus is Lord and a King of Kings. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that one more time. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, today is your day. Today is a special day. And God is working in your heart. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, right now we're going to sing that song again. And we invite you to come right out to my left here, where we will pray with you for Jesus to come into your heart. If you came with your friend, ask your friend to accompany you to the front. And others of you who need prayer for whatever area, we will pray for you too. Amen.
Kings and priests, He made us to be. We have what we say. We get what we see. Faith is the victory, and love is the key. Jesus is Lord, and our King of Kings. King, made us to be. Get what we see. Faith is the victory, and love is the key. Jesus is Lord and our King of Kings. King. Those who minister together with me, come right up right now. I'll pray for these here right now.
We get what we see. Faith is the victory, and love is the key.
Okay, I will. Amen. And love is the key. Jesus is Lord and our King of Kings. Kings and priests made us be. We have what we say. Yeah, what love is the key. Jesus is Lord and our King of Kings. Kings and priests, He made us to be. And what we say, yes.